Good morning. Everybody looks so good this morning. It's almost like Christmas is about to be here. It's Christmas week. We're excited to have you today. If you're visiting with us, welcome to New Hope. We are very thankful that you're here. And if you're online, we love you and we miss you and we're glad that you're still joining us. We have some fun this week. I know y'all probably have a whole schedule of things, and maybe some of y'all don't. Maybe you're just going to be resting and enjoying the birth of Christ and whatever it is that you have. But tonight, everyone is invited to the kids' Christmas program, 6 to 7 tonight in here. So there's something that we all can do. And then Christmas Eve is our communion and Christmas evening candlelight service at 5 o'clock. So please join us for those. That's a great, if you haven't done those before, it's a great tradition to start. I know that our family loves doing that each year. The beautiful poinsettias in the church today is placed by Deb Anderson in memory of her mother, Eileen, and her brother, John White, also. And we have a couple of announcements before I continue.
I just wanted to take a few minutes to tell you how much I appreciated Mo and Russ's vision, first of all, for the Christmas and Earl. I know it probably didn't end up the way we wanted it to with the attendance, but it did end up the way God wanted it to. I had the opportunity to get to know some people that I didn't know very well. So that was just a fun time of fellowship for, if nothing else, for us. And it was a blessing to be here. So I just wanted to take a second to say thank you, of course, to Russ and Mo. And just a quick, anybody that had anything to do with Christmas and Earl, stand up. Anything. Wow. That was a church event. So thank you to all of you for everything that you did.
Okay, good morning, everyone. I just wanted to thank everybody who has participated in the Christmas Post Office. The Earl Christmas Post Office. There you go. I just wondered what it was. And just wanted to remind everyone to stop by after church, and there are going to be ACT teens to help you get your cards. We still have a few left, but it would be very, very helpful to us if you would come pick up your cards. And I hope you all have a very Merry Christmas. Thank you.
And on, I'm going to piggyback that. If you see someone's cards that aren't here and you're going to see them in the next week or so, that would be great if you could bring them. Maybe they don't get to come much and you do go visit them. You could help by delivering them to them as well. Awesome. So this morning is the fourth Sunday of Advent. Nikki and Avery are going to be lighting our candles this morning. And our theme today is love. The Apostle John is known as the Apostle of Love because he uses the word love more than any other New Testament author. The Greek language, which is the language of the New Testament, has so many words that are translated into English as love. The terms that John uses the most to describe God's love are derivatives of the Greek word agape and also agapo. Agape is a sacrificial love. It's the most powerful form of love in the Greek language. Thus, it is the perfect description for the love of God. And here are two texts from the Apostle of Love, from John. 1 John 4:9-16 says, "In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this, we know we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. And whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed that the love God has for us. So God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. In John 3:16, that we most know, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So may this Advent season remind you that hope, peace, joy, and love are gifts from God that are to be celebrated throughout the entire year. In Romans 15:13, now may the God of hope fill you with all the joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Our Father, we praise your name this morning, and we thank you for that love. We thank you for a love that sets a precedent in our life, Lord, that we can compare all things to, so we can understand what true love is, so that we can see things of the world and understand because of what you've done and what you've given us and what you've forgiven us for and all that you've done, so we can hold that up beside it and say, is this from you, God, or is this the world? Is this a distraction? So, Lord, I pray that we ponder deeply on your love today and the magnificent things that you have not given us in this world, but given us in our salvation, in forgiveness, in mercy, in grace, in peace that we have sometimes when we can't understand it. And maybe we get the worst news that we've ever had, but there's a peace that overwhelms us. Or maybe in a troubling time or a hard time that we have a joy because we just sometimes, you know, get those chills. The Holy Spirit that reminds us that you are in us, that you are with us, and we have nothing to fear. And nothing but joy that needs to abound. So I pray that as we go throughout this week, that we not only ponder on your love, Lord, but that we work to serve others by showing that love. That when we're with family or in our own homes, maybe in the times when it's hardest to show love, or maybe when we're with others, that we know, Lord, that it's kind of a crazy time right now in this world with the world, but also with just the hectic week of Christmas and everywhere we're going and everything we're buying for. But Lord, let New Hope Baptist, let our members show love in a magnificent way, in ways that we never have before. Please show us in our minds and our prayers ways that we can show love of Christ that will stop people and make them ask, why are you doing this? So that we can reply, because we are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. We love you, Lord, so much. And we pray that you fill our love in this time of worship today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Had a good day. Isn't the Christmas season a beautiful time of year? A lot of people are going to be traveling this week, this weekend, next weekend, through the New Year's, and it's going to be a busy time. And even though we have GPS today, there are times when GPS doesn't work. I know me and Dad were in the and went to the Appalachian LSU game, and we were coming back out of Baton Rouge, and we had to leave early because the hurricane was coming through, and we got on the interstate there, and we got diverted off the interstate. Well, the cell service went out, and so we're just kind of getting it down the road, really not knowing where we were going or anything like that, and so it can be kind of interesting. How many of you remember? You young folks don't even know what I'm talking about. The paper maps. Okay, that'd be a good project for the students, wouldn't it, to try to find their way home on a paper map, wouldn't it? But have you ever gotten lost driving your car, maybe? And again, a lot easier to do before GPS in today's world, but still possible. Or what about when you're hiking in the woods or just out walking, you know, and you get lost? Yeah. Or what about when you lose something, like your wallet, or your phone, or maybe your keys? We were out here working 2 weeks ago. It was a Thursday or Friday. We were frantically trying to put everything up, and Nick and Noah, they were like, "Hey, I need you to go to Lowe's to get this." I said, "Great, I'll be right back." And so I jumped in my car and mashed a button, and it didn't start. Because my keys weren't in my pocket. And so I'm looking around all over my car around. I couldn't find them. Thankfully, I have a towel, okay? And so I got my phone out and find my towel and find my keys. And so I mashed that button and it said, "You're within 200 feet. And it's at 2621 Blacksburg Road. And it shows me directions, and so I'm like following this little phone right, okay, right here. You know, it's like when you're getting warmer, you know. And it took me into the Hope Center, and I'm thinking, I haven't been in the Hope Center. Well, earlier in the day, a box had come in, and I opened it up to see what it was. And when I laid the box back down, I used my key to open the box, okay, first mistake. And I laid my keys down and laid the box on top of it. But these guys were I didn't want to lose them because I knew they were almost at a stopping point. And I couldn't let them go home. So I had to get the Lowe's and back. Okay? And so I was looking around trying to, and I'm like, "God, where are they? I can't find them." And then you pick up the box and like, "You knucklehead." You know, have you ever been there? I think we all have, haven't we? You remember that anxious feeling of, you know, you get frantic, you know, and then frustration gets in. Where could they be? Where could I have left them? They're not, you know what I'm talking about? And you just start losing your mind, it seems like. And then you pick up your pace. Well, it's not here, it's not here. And your mind goes everywhere. Okay, stop. Where was it? Okay, where was the last place I was at? Okay. You begin looking from room to room. And when you're driving, you begin looking for familiar landmarks, don't you? Or signs or road names. Okay, did I see that anywhere? Do I remember that landmark or anything? Do you stop and ask for directions? Men don't answer that. Or I should say, you know, how many times do your wife say you need to stop and ask for directions before you actually stop and ask for directions. No comment, babe. But then, we also know that feeling when the lost item is found, don't we? I knew that feeling when I it's right here, where can it be? And I'd start throwing, oh, there it is. Or you look around and you realize that your phone was under a blanket, or, you know, it's like, you know, that sense of relief that, oh, praise the Lord, I found it. There's turmoil all around the world, isn't it? The world is lacking peace, and, you know, there's military skirmishes and wars all around, and there's unrest in the Middle East and Eastern Europe. And in Germany on Friday, there was a car that plowed through a Christmas market, and it killed 5 people and injured over 200 more people. A school shooting in Wisconsin last week. Gangs are taking over neighborhoods, and crime is storming the cities like never before. There's unrest in our families, within the walls of our homes, and even within our minds. Peace seems to be so elusive sometimes. We're not at peace with ourselves, with our families, with our neighbors, or sometimes even our church family or with God. We're full of the fear and anxiety. Peace. Is it possible? Is that inner peace possible? Well, let me say that we have a Savior who is the Prince of Peace. Amen? And we worship Him today, and we praise Him, and we celebrate Him this Christmas season. And if we are His, we can know peace. We can know that inner peace. We can know that unimaginable, unexplainable peace that nothing else in this world can give. Nothing else in this world can provide like the Lord Jesus Christ. And so today we're continuing our study in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And if you will, turn your Bibles there. We read a longer portion of this passage earlier in the series, but today I just want to read that one verse in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne forever. This prophecy in verse 6 here, it was spoken during a time of great turmoil and uncertainty in Israel. The people faced threats from outside nations, other nations, surrounding nations. There was great spiritual turmoil going on and decline, spiritual decline within the nation there. And so the name Prince of Peace reflects the culmination of God's promise to bring peace through the Messiah. And this was spoken hundreds of years before Christ was born. You know, we often hear calls of peace in our world and between nations, and peace in families, and peace within our hearts. But we have to consider what it truly means for Jesus to be the Prince of Peace. How does His peace differ from the fleeting tranquility that the world tries to offer us? Again, He offers us a peace that nothing else or nobody else can. And it transforms every aspect of our life when we're completely surrendered to Him. You see, without Christ in our heart, you can never experience true peace. You can never experience the true peace that only He can give. He reconciles us to God, and through that He gives us peace. He brings inner peace in the midst of life's storms and turmoil and disasters in life. And then it empowers us to be instruments of peace, to be peacekeepers and peacemakers in the world. And so Jesus is the Prince of Peace who reconciles. He's that's his primary mission in life, was to bring peace, was to offer that reconciliation between humanity and God, bringing peace between us and God. Because if you don't have that, you can't have real peace. In the Old Testament, it was sin that created the chasm between humanity and God, and it resulted in that separation and conflict. Because we could never be right with God because we had sin in our life, because we had sin in our heart, and God can't be present in the presence of sin. And so there was a disconnect there. There was a brokenness there. But through His atoning work on the cross, Jesus bridges that divide and making that peace possible through the blood that He shed on the cross. And this reconciliation fulfills Isaiah's prophecy and allows us to come confidently to the throne room of God, to come into the presence of God and offer Him our prayers and our praise and our worship. The New Testament story of Jesus' birth fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah. In Luke chapter 2, verse 14, it says, "The angels proclaimed, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth,'" what does it say? "'Peace to those on whom His favor rests.'" Peace to those on whom His favor rests. Peace to those chosen people. Peace to those who have chosen God. Peace to those who have chosen Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That declaration signaled through Jesus, God's peace was now accessible to a broken world that was separated from God once before, is now made possible again through the blood of Jesus that ultimately came on the cross. Today, this reconciliation means we're no longer enemies with God. Praise God. Amen. We might have some enemies out there, and they might seem tough at times. You know, we've got human enemies enemies of nature and disease. But my friend, nothing is as bad as the enemy of God, being separated from God and being separated from the love of God. It means that we're adopted into His family. You know, that's the great thing about adoption, is that when a child is adopted, the parent goes and says, I want this child right here to be mine. And in adoption, you can't give them back. When we think about God adopting us, He looks at us and He says, "I want you. Will you have me?" And praise God, He don't give us back, right? Because I know my life is not worthy of God's calling. I know my life is not worth being called a child of God. But it's through the blood of Christ that makes that possible. It's through the blood of Christ and the acceptance of Christ in our heart that we're given a new identity. And we're called into a personal relationship with Christ. How many of you have a friend? I hope everybody raises your hand. If not, I'll be your friend. How many of you have a close friend? It may be your spouse, it may be somebody you grew up with. You know, a sad thing in this world is that a lot of people leave this world without those close friends for whatever reason. Are there five people in your life that you would say, "I can call and they'll be there for me"? You see, through a relationship with Christ, we know that we can call on Him anytime and He'll be there for us. He's right there with us every day, every moment of the day. And because of that, we're called to live in gratitude for the peace that we have and to share that good news with other people. So Jesus is the Prince of Peace that reconciles us to God. And He also is the Prince of Peace that brings peace during troubled times. Peace isn't merely the absence of conflict, but a deep, abiding inner peace is what Jesus brings, what He gives us. It's a peace that sustains us through the challenges of life. We've all been through those. Maybe you're going through, I know some of you here today are going through some of those challenges and difficulties of life right now. In John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus reassures His disciples and He says, this is Jesus, this is the Prince of Peace speaking. When we think about, when we're reading this in the New Testament, any other time, we're thinking, okay, this is Jesus saying this. But be reminded today, this is the Prince of Peace, who is peace Himself, speaking these words to His disciples. And He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I don't give to you as the world gives. And so don't let your hearts be troubled. And don't be afraid. We have received the peace of Jesus. The Prince of Peace's peace. And He says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid of what you're facing. But He's going to be, the Holy Spirit is going to walk with you through whatever you're going through. And the peace of Jesus is multifaceted. It's a peace, first of all, that reconciles us with God. As I said, it calms our fears in times of anxiety. And third, it breaks down those barriers and encourages us to be united. It breaks down the barriers and encourages unity among believers. And this peace is available to everybody that would receive Him as their Lord and Savior. We've got to surrender our heart. We've got to surrender the circumstances and the worries of our heart to Him in prayer and trust His sovereignty over every situation in life. As we've said before, it hardly ever goes the way we want it to go. Somebody put on a text not long ago to me. They said, you know, my life just didn't work out the way I planned. Let me ask you this. Let me get a quick survey. Has anybody's life in here worked out the way you planned? I know mine hadn't, because I sure wouldn't be up here. But God has His own plan for us, doesn't He? He has our own plan. And yes, we make our plans, but then God just laughs at it and says, no, this is the plan I have for you. The question is, are we planning to follow God's plan in our life? Are we willing to come in alignment with God, come in alignment with God's plan in our life? Or are we still going to try to go do the things we want to do? We're called to be people of peace. That's hard sometimes, isn't it? Sometimes other people make peace very difficult, don't they? Someone gave me a t-shirt that said, I can't remember exactly what it said, but I like being an agitator. Ask the washing machine or something like that. Or like a, I don't know what it said. Watch it now. But there are some people in life that just cause trouble. I'm not talking about fun, joking problems, but it seems like they go out of their way to cause problems and to be a a hindrance in your life. It's the people that try to flip your switch, that try to make you get off kilter, that tries to get you to react in a way that we know is not godly. But nevertheless, we are called to be peacemakers and encouraging that peace among people. In Romans 14, 19, it says, "Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification." Do whatever, make whatever effort to make peace possible. This means actively working to restore those broken relationships. Is there somebody in your life that you used to have a relationship with that it's not there anymore? Is there somebody in your life that you're at odds with today? Is there bitterness in your heart towards somebody? Is there a brokenness in relationships? Because, folks, we are called to be peacemakers. We're called to pursue peace with them. We're called to forgive them as we have been forgiven. And once we do that, once we have forgiven them from our heart, it's the ball's in their court. You can't make them forgive you. You can't make them come to peace with you. But you can know in your heart that you have given, that you have forgiven, that you have offered that peace to them. And folks, as Dave Gordon used to say, the rest of us between them and God, right? We have to do our part, and the rest is up to them. But it means we have to be intentional about being peacemakers. It means forgiving those who have wronged us. It means trying to seek reconciliation where there's division or being that calming presence in a tense situation. And when we live that way, we bear witness to the transformative power of the Holy Spirit in our life. Is it always easy? Absolutely not. But we're called to be peacemakers. Isaiah 9:6 again reveals Jesus as the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace, fulfilling the promise of the Messiah in every part of our life. He reconciles us to God, He provides inner peace, and He calls us to live as peacemakers. And this peace that Jesus offers is unlike anything else out there. It's lasting, it restores, and it's life-changing. Let me ask you this morning, are you experiencing the peace of Jesus, the peace of Christ in your life? If not, I want to invite you to bring those burdens and those concerns to Him today. Trust Him as your Prince of Peace. Allow His peace to flow into you and through you to those around you. Will you embrace the call to be His ambassador? Peacemaking, to spread his word of peace in your homes, in your community, in your schools, in your workplace, and around the world. May we echo the words of the Apostle Paul in closing today from 2 Thessalonians 3:16. It says, "Now may the Lord of peace..." Who? "Now may the Lord of peace Himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all." So let's surrender to the Lord and worship and serve the wonderful Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace who reigns today and forevermore. Praise be to God, the Prince of Peace, who lives forever. Let's pray. Father in heaven, God, we acknowledge You today as the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father, the Mighty God, the Wonderful Counselor. You have become the fulfillment of this prophecy to the very ends of our lives. Father, we pray, God, that we will take these and allow You, Lord, to reign in our life completely and wholly. God, that we can reflect Your characteristics to others this Christmas season. And Father, may we surrender our burdens to You today. May we surrender to You, God, the anxiety in our life, the bitterness in our relationships, the unforgiveness that's not there. Father, may we experience today You as being the Prince of Peace. And may we experience true peace like never before. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.